And we are back with Lisa Waters Lane. She comes each week with your garden questions. Just what are your neighbors? What are your friends talking about? Because there's something to be gleaned from that. And we can share that with the other listeners that have tuned in. So, Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Here. Yes. Been busy. Busy.
I was sharing with folks the segment before this. Everything that was coming in like a month and a half ago was just evergreens. Now everything that comes off is ever bloom. It just blooms everywhere. It's just the fragrance of the gardens in it is amazing.
We have a lot of stuff in. We've done 3 trucks within the past 2 days.
I don't know how you and the team do it.
Maybe four.
Worn out just watching you work so hard. Just kidding. I jump in there and help too. Sometimes we have these new shade structures out over the garden center. So we filled in, it's a 2-acre property more, but in between the two, the lower greenhouse, the big greenhouse, it's a big acreage. We just put it all under shade. So it changed it feels like you're going to the circus or something, or like under a canopy. It's just beautiful. It's red and blue, changes the light. We've got to figure out how to use it all, but it takes the edge off. So it's more pleasant. Definitely. Out there, you're not baking under the sun all the time. So
it used to get pretty toasty.
Yeah, you have to water things twice a day. Yeah. The crew had to work so hard in the heat. Now it's just easy.
Yes, it is.
It's easy to work here at Waters Gardens. Except for 3 trucks. We're basically dirt dealers, really.
I'm like, have you seen my nails? I don't think so.
So what kind of questions are people asking or commenting on?
Oh, lots of stuff going out there. So Jake would like to know, is it possible to transplant manzanita? He's got some in his yard, wants to know if he could move it. Need more coffee.
Yeah, I know.
He also has the same question about pinyon pines, small pinions.
Yeah. Boy, Jake, I got to tell you, I've tried this so many times. It's probably not worth it. Maybe 1 in 10 will actually succeed. So your success rate's very small. Those 2 natives are really rough. I mean, cactus, really easy to transplant. But pinyon pines and I don't know about manzanita. Every one of those have died. Even the pups underneath the mother plant, you dig them up, you try to get as much root. Maybe if you had a backhoe and you had this humongous box for this little tiny plant, but they put on these runners that run across the yard, and you can never get enough of that taproot, and so you sever it, and within pinyon pines, it's a slow death. It's painful to watch as a gardener. It'll take 18 months. You're trying to get it to work. It's probably better. Jake, save yourself some headache. We grow manzanita here. We figured it out. They're fully rooted. They live to the plant. It's probably worth paying a couple extra bucks and doing that. We've got 4 sizes. We've got head high, the native one, kind of chest high, hip high, and ground cover, kinnikinick. And then pinyon pines, we've got the better one. We've got a single leaf pinyon pine. That's the one they get the nuts from. Plant that one, and it doesn't get the scale and have all the issues. So I would encourage to discourage you. Don't beat your head against that bark, against that. It's just not worth the energy.
I would agree. All right. Our next question is from Carol.
Hey, Carol.
She saw some gardenias here at the store. She wants to know how well they do in the winter here. And then also, what kind of light conditions, sun, shade, mix? Sure. What are we looking at?
Well, first of all, Carol, thanks for coming to the garden center. Glad you saw them. So we carry 2 varieties here. This is more for my southern folks from that more humid climates where you grow gardenias just naturally. They're almost like a weed. There's a lot of varieties of gardenia. Not all of them are the same, and most are more tropical than here. There's only 2 that are hardy enough to go through the winter. Up here, one's got a double flower. It's about the size of a silver dollar or so. One's got a star gardenia. Has a 5-petal white flower. Both have an intense fragrance. They're evergreen bushes. They don't get as big here. So you folks from the warmer climates, you're used to gardenias can be as big as you are. Well, they're not going to be that big here. They're going to be smaller, let's say knee high. Maybe if you had them for years and years, maybe they could get bigger than that. But generally, they look really good in containers. They fill in. They're nice and evergreen. They don't take any real care as far as pruning. fertilize them with flower power once or twice a month, and away you're going to bloom starting May and not stop until wherever. And evergreen, the sun piece, Carol. They like the sun, but they don't like the middle of the day sun in June. So we've grown several in containers. We've mm-hmm. got two or three of them, but all varieties, because we like entertaining on our patio. So there's nothing like a gardenia that's blooming right next to you as you're sipping tea, watching the sunset, the hummingbirds fly mm-hmm. through the yard. It's magical. And so we use them that way. And in containers, it brings that gardenia smell up where you can enjoy it more. So it's up where you can just smell the fragrance, the aroma. And so that's where we grow. We find they grow really well on the east side. So they get the morning sun, afternoon shade. We grow some on the west side. They get shade till about one or two, and then they get sun. We grow them on the north side. They're beautiful. The north side of our two-story house. That south side, they just don't bloom. I know the tag says it will grow there, but it doesn't bloom very long. They get brown leaves. It's just not worth the energy. Some protection that middle of the day. So that's why they do great underneath that back patio, the back deck that's covered, the entrance to your house, having a gardenia there. It's got that cover to it. They welcome every guest. The Amazon delivery guy will just thank you every time. You'll remember your house going, yeah, can make sure the Joneses get that package. Their house smells good. So anyway, okay. Too far.
Maybe just a hair. All right. Her next question is from Anne. She has a KV plum or ornamental plum. She says every year it gets holes in the leaves.
Yeah.
She wants to know, she's not seeing any insects out there.
Yeah.
So what is it caused by and how do you treat it?
Yeah. So they call it shot hole because it looks like someone stepped back with a shotgun and shot holes through the leaves. It looks like that, little tiny holes through all the leaves. It really affects a plum. It really likes plum trees or pitted fruits. But ornamental plum, they love that purple leaf plum the most. When they're real young, you'll see these holes written. It's so small, you see them. As they get more mature, bigger, they're still there. You just don't notice them as much. It doesn't really kill the plant. It's actually a bacteria eating the sugars inside the leaf, and it just nibbles out a little hole. That's the name, shot hole. So what to do? There's a spray. There's actually an amazing organic spray. It's called Fungicide 5.
Got it.
Right? There we go. Fungicide 5. All organic. It's not going to hurt your birds. Not going to hurt your husband. Not going to hurt your pets, the birds. It's safe. All organic. Spray that, and it will take out shot hole. Now, when to spray it. This kind of stuff affects plants when it gets in there when they're young. So birds peck around in the leaf litter down below, they fly up on this new foliage, and then it just spreads from there. So it spreads from their feet, or bugs come eat on one plant that's affected, come and eat on yours. If you put the fungicide 5 on as they leaf out, so this has been the pink tree that's been in bloom for about a month. It's now starting to transition. Now it's half blooms and half purple foliage. This is when you spray it. Put fungicide 5 on there, and the hole, it will greatly reduce the number of holes going through that foliage. And then as they mature, it just becomes cleaner. It's just a cleaner tree. Next fall, make sure you clean up all of those leaves that fell down, because that's how it comes back year after year. So the birds, all that leaf litter will be there. The worms are attracted to it. The birds are attracted to the worms, and they peck around there, and they get on the new foliage next spring, and it just perpetuates itself. So fungicide 5 is your magic.
It's a great fungicide.
It's an amazing new chemistry, new science coming out that's mm-hmm. greatly effective. That we are out of time, Lisa. We've got to cut it short here. So Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, be right back after this.